Hey everyone, welcome to the Voices in Japan podcast with your hosts Ben and Burke. On today's show, we are joined by special guest Matt again to talk about drinking in Japan and what differences you can expect compared to your home countries. We talk about having a drink whilst bartending, or you can drink plans, also known as nomi hodai, or being invited for drinks with bosses and co-workers. We also talk about hostess bars and snack bars and much, much more. Enjoy the show.
1, 2, 3.
Is my voice going to be all tinny?
No, that's okay.
Is it going to sound all right?
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. It'll probably be a little bit lower quality compared to mine and Burke's because it's on
your
phone.
You do that deliberately, don't you? So you guys sound better.
Yeah.
I think your viewers should realize that Burke's real voice is a high-pitched, squealy whine.
Right, it's the mic effect.
Yeah, he edits it to sound like Clint Eastwood.
Hi, I'm Mickey Mouse. Hi.
This is Burke's real voice.
That's right, yeah. And Ben's actually Scottish. That's right.
The filters these days are amazing.
Yeah, no, but today I took the motorbike out to Otaru. It was very nice. Went down to Zeninbako Beach.
Dude, I was down there today.
Were you?
Yeah.
There were a lot of people down there.
Yeah, I was at the, the Laguna Love Hotel. You know that one? I wasn't in the Love Hotel, but I was close to that part of the beach.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a popular spot.
Yeah, it's a nice area, isn't it?
Although the beach is not very nice, though.
No, it's not. No.
But, yeah, being there is a pleasant experience.
What's the weather like? Or not weather, but water like this year. Is there a lot of junk in it? Or is it like plant life? Or is it pretty clear?
Did you go in, Matt?
Guess that answered my question. All right.
Did you go in?
You're talking to me or Ben?
Well, we were both there, so I guess I and Russ could answer.
Well, I don't want to answer Burke's stupid questions.
Don't be shy.
No, we rode past, so we didn't actually go down near the water. So, oh. Ben, you probably,
okay.
Did you go into
I
the
can
water?
Answer. Yeah, I can answer this question. Yeah. So, the water was, it was cold. But after you kind of dipped your feet in for a couple of minutes, you got used to it. But it wasn't clear, wasn't clean. It was, I guess, like the murky kind. I don't know if it's not exactly dirty, but I think just from the waves and the currents is, you know, dragging the sand into it. So it's not like the pristine condition that it could be.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No one's swimming. Definitely no one's swimming.
Mm. Okay, still too cold, huh?
Yeah, there was quite a few windsurfers, though.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was quite breezy today.
It was a nice day today, anyway.
It was.
Perfect day for a drink, really.
Exactly. Yeah, what are you guys drinking? I just cracked open a Sapporo Classic.
Oh, really? I'm having a bit early. No, I'm having one as well. So,
cheers. Virtual cheers.
Yeah,
Burke,
cheers.
What you got?
I am drinking Heartland.
Oh, Heartland. Nice.
Oh, yeah. I like Heartlands, man. Yeah. That's my go-to drink, actually.
That's a Japanese beer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
a Sapporo beer, isn't it?
No, it's, who is that? I think it's Kirin, actually.
Hold on, let me check. Oh, okay.
It still has the plastic that they put on it so the bottle wouldn't break in my bag. Yeah, it's Kirin.
Oh, right.
I remember when I first came here and I used to drink at Famous Door. I've spoke about this before on the pod in North 24, and they serve like big bottles of Heartland. I'm not sure what the size is. I guess it's like 500 mil bottles. And I remember that was the first time I ever had one, but for some reason, because it was called Heartland in English, I assumed it was a foreign beer.
Same here.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Likewise. Yeah,
yeah, fooled all of us.
Yeah,
it's a crafty beer.
But yeah, very good weather today. I was actually out with my daughter even today. We went to Odori Park, and even though it is the Kinkyu, what is it, Jidai Senden state of emergency, I will say there was quite a lot of people down in Odori Park. And just being there during the summertime, man, it was like I had to have a beer, man.
Yeah, right. The lockdown that we're not really locking down for, right?
One more week before it's officially lifted. Next Sunday is the last day.
It's not even a lockdown, really.
It's like nothing.
You can go to restaurants. Like, the restaurants are packed, but the only thing they're not doing is serving alcohol.
Yeah.
Which is our topic today, isn't it? We're going to talk about the one thing we can't do right now. But it doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. If they're going to lock down, you may as well lock down, you know?
How many times have you guys made that mistake of ordering alcohol when you've been to a restaurant since this state of emergency has happened?
Once, Ben, that was with you.
Right, yeah, we did that, and I actually did it again today. So when I was in Zenibako, we went to this nice kind of beachside cafe restaurant, and went to order a beer, and they were just like, sorry, you can order food, but no alcohol until next week.
Yeah.
Right? It's stupid.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it, you may as well do it, you know?
Yeah, it's a little strange. Like, the department store, when I was stopping, swinging by there to buy my Heartland, it's weird. Like, some of the stores, though, and the shopping in the department stores are, like, closed. Only certain sections of the department stores are open, so it's a little dystopian because it's like Sunday, middle of the day. But like the makeup sections were open. Good for
me. Thank God.
Yeah. And like some other sections were open, but like a lot of the shops and stuff were closed. But the supermarket floor, like in the basement, was open. So it's, yeah, I don't really know, but just waiting for it to be over.
Yeah. So not long.
Next week,
and then we can finally go out drinking again. Well, I don't know. Have you guys been going out drinking? Because I know there's a couple of places, we spoke about this before, Matt, that are kind of still open or defying the government's recommendations.
Yeah, there's only one place that I know, which is for those living in Sapporo, Rad Brothers.
You're local.
Yeah, the bar that everybody doesn't like very much, but which I do.
The bar that Matt spends the night at every weekend, Saturday and Sundays. You can usually see him halfway sleeping in and out of the front door Monday morning.
Yeah,
that was a long... the tables as well sometimes, right?
That was a long, long time ago. You've guys been on that table, haven't you?
No, I've never danced on it. No, definitely not.
Have you gotten up on the table?
No, I think that was kind of before my time. I've never really seen that happen that often. Like, there's been a couple of times where, you know, on a really crazy night, maybe one or two really drunk people would dance on there. But it's not a common thing to see. But I heard like 10, 15 years ago, it was like everyone was dancing on the tables.
I don't know. I kind of remember seeing Ben standing at the foot of the table, cheering people on with dollar bills in his hand.
Go, shot.
Man, I've seen some weird things on that table, man. But because I used to work at that bar about 8 years ago, 9 years ago, I guess.
What was that like? Was that a fun place to work?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't as exciting as I thought it'd be, but no, it was pretty. Yeah, it was all right.
It's kind of like when I first got to Sapporo at the beginning of the 2000s and stuff. I mean, that was one of the like places that was always packed, like every weekend. And then it kind of went through a lull for many years, and now it's kind of been rejuvenated. I don't know, maybe the last 3 years or something, 4 years.
Yeah, but, I don't.
When you were working there, was it kind of during the lull, or was it a busy period?
No, it was a pretty busy period.
The peak years.
Yeah. Because at that time, I mean, for those listeners who don't live in Sapporo, there's a place called Rad Brothers. And that was kind of the foreign place before couple of other bars opened up. But it was definitely the wildest bar. It's probably still, I don't know if it still is the wildest bar, but it was definitely crazy back in the time, back in the day, you know.
Can you tell us some crazy stories that happened there? People drinking till 2 a.m. Falling asleep at the bar. Nuts.
Weird stuff, man. Weird stuff. Well, there's always nearly a fight there every Saturday. But the dumbest thing I've ever seen there is a guy setting fire to his head. Man, like, yeah. So,
like as a party trick or an accident or what happened?
No. He got up on the table. There's a big table in the middle of this bar, right? So he stood up on the table. His buddy got up with him, and he got a shot glass of vodka or something, and he sort of tipped it over his head to make a little mohawk.
Oh, man.
And then he set fire to it for this little flaming mohawk. And, and everyone's like, woo, yeah. And then he's like, and then his buddy did it too. They were kind of, they had crew cuts, you know, like shaved heads. And then for some reason, man, he decided to go an extra step further. He got one of the cocktail glasses, filled that up with something, poured that over his head, and then set fire to that. And his head just went woof, like, and it was like, it was, it was kind of shocking to see, you know. And I was just starting, like, after a few seconds, this is not going out, you know. And girls are starting to cry, stinking up the whole bar. And oh, I'm starting to take my jacket off to chuck it over his head. And you could see him starting to panic, you know. But that was definitely the dumbest thing I've seen anybody do under the influence of alcohol. And what, then,
what time during the night was that at? Do you remember?
Oh, lunchtime. I don't know. This is one of the late. Yeah, it's probably one or two in the morning. Like after he's obviously had too much drink. I saw him about a month after that, and I'm like, "Man, are you all right?" He's like, "Yeah." He was in hospital for a couple of weeks. Wow. He had burns like up of his upper torso. You know, his face was all bandaged and everything. Yeah,
Japanese guy.
Yeah, Japanese guy. But man. And his buddy sort of slunk off quietly, you know, because he was going to do it next. I'm like, yeah, don't set fire to your hair. Doesn't impress anybody, but yeah, it was kind of a shocking thing to see, really.
So you've worked at quite a few bars in Japan, is that right, Matt? Or have you worked at other bars in your life, like back at home in Australia too?
No, I was a glassy at a club in Sydney, like, you know, just going around and picking up glasses. And I worked stealing drinks. Man, that was one shit job, I'll tell you that. And then I did a responsible service of alcohol certificate, which let's face it. Oh, like to serve alcohol in Australia, you have to do the responsible service of alcohol course, and then you do a bar course as well. So you need those two things to be able to work at a bar. But I mean, the responsible service of alcohol doesn't really exist in Japan at all. But over here, I worked at three bars in Sapporo.
That's kind of new for me to hear, because in England we don't need those licenses, if you will,
or yeah,
qualifications.
But it's just like, you know, how many drinks can somebody drink in an hour? What's the what's the drink driving limits?
And do you get a certificate?
I can't. I think so. Well, it's not as funny as your bicycle.
Well, mate, it's not official if there's no certificate.
That's right. But it's just showing you what you can and can't do as a bartender. I know the biggest thing in Japan that Sorry, there's just an ambulance going.
Yeah,
past.
They come. You coming to get picked up or something? Hey, what's going on?
Shit, I've said too much. They're after me.
Could you at least stick your head out the window and tell them to keep it down a bit? We're trying to record a podcast.
That's right. This is Voice in Japan. I was talking to Ben about this. I mean, the differences of drinking in Japan and actually being a bartender in Japan. I'm not sure what it's like in America or England, but I'm pretty sure in Australia you cannot be getting drunk as a bartender. But in Japan you can. I mean, you're also more encouraged to drink while you're being a bartender. This is like not an izakaya or anything, but on a Western style bar.
Yeah, and it's not just like you have to get drunk. It's more like customers buy you drinks, right?
That's
you're drinking
correct,
with
yeah.
the customers. Yeah,
yeah. But I'm pretty sure that's illegal in Australia. I'm not sure if it's legal here actually. But I mean, I know a lot of bartenders. I mean, it's profit, right? So if somebody buys you a drink, I'll have a drink. And then, it's profit for the bar, and you get to have a drink while you're working as well.
Mm. Yeah, England is definitely a no-go for that. Like, they could buy you a drink, but you would have to drink it at the end of your shift. So you kind of put it down as a tab, and then once you finish work, then you can drink it. So you can't actually drink with the customer. Would be a fireable offense in England.
Mm. And I can't even remember buying a drink for bartenders in Australia. I'm pretty sure it doesn't happen. Well, maybe it does. I'm not sure. I haven't been there for a while. But how is it like in the States? Does the bartender drink?
Yeah, I think at most bars they're not allowed to. I don't know if it's anything to do with the law or if it's just maybe bar rules or something. But, I don't think – I mean, I think like every now and then they might take a shot, but they're definitely not as apt to drink as much as I've seen some bartenders drinking in Japan. You know, I'm like, all right, the bartender's being a nice person. I'll include them in this. Hey, yeah, you want to have a drink with us? Usually expecting them to turn it down, but they're always like – Matt's always like, yeah, sure, I'll have another one.
Go get yourself a glass of water. You've earned it.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think in the U.S. I don't think they're supposed to, but I don't know if it's like a legal thing or not. Yeah,
yeah. Now this place in North 24, famous store that I used to go to all the time. Mm. I tell you, man, the bar staff there used to get absolutely hammered because people would buy them drinks all night. They would pretty much never say no. I don't know.
Yeah,
I guess it's part of making more money. But then because they would be drinking so much and it would be all through the night, some of them would just like pass out at the bar like at 2-3 in the morning. And so, what's this guy doing? What's Shuhei doing? Oh, he's just, he's just drunk and he's still working. And everyone just kind of walks around him. And that was like a common scene, like on the Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah, that's not an uncommon thing to see, is it? I mean, I remember at Rad Brothers, I mean, when they first got new staff in, they just kept feeding them shots and drinks because they just wanted to see how that staff member would. It was like an initiation thing. Can this guy handle getting drunk? And what's he going to be like when he's drunk and having to work at the same time? So, and it was like, if you can get that wasted and you get to continue on, I guess, So a lot of guys didn't like it. They quit,
I wonder if that's like a prerequisite, like for working in a bar, like you got to be able to handle your drink.
You probably wouldn't get
the job if you got, that like a lot of Japanese people after a couple of drinks, they're either shit-faced or they go bright red. Those people probably wouldn't be able to get a job in a bar in Japan.
But that story, I mean, I'm positive they don't do that now. I think that was just the management at the time that was their thing they wanted to do. And,
Well, I'll say some of the bars that, have been to in Sapporo and stuff, usually where a foreign crowd goes, but still primarily Japanese customer base. Like sometimes you just see the bartender with their own drink, like sipping on a beer or something at some of these clubs. And so, yeah, I'm like, man, they're not, somebody didn't even just buy that for them. You know, they just still have their drink going on. So
just fill up their own drink as they go. Yeah. But I mean, I've had, while I was working at the bar, this guy just sort of slammed Ichiman Yen down $100. And he's like, when I drink, you're going to have a drink. And man, like, and I remember I was also doing bar food at the same time. And I was getting like, I was like, man, I can't drink anymore. I've got to make food. And I was wasted trying to make these cheese platters. And then the manager, the guy with me, is, I'm like, man, I can't drink anymore. I'm gonna pass out. So he said, when the guy bought shots, you know, you'd fill it up with water and pretend that was a vodka or whatever, you know. But yeah, because you weren't allowed to say no. That was their rule. If they drink, you know, you have to drink.
Yeah, you don't want to offend the customer.
No, that's right.
So then not only are you making money for the bar off the drink, but you're actually just serving water, so it's like twice as much profit for the bar.
Yeah. But, yeah, that doesn't – yeah, anyway.
Anyways. Well, that's definitely a big difference in Japan and back in our home countries is drinking with customers. But also, as probably most people have heard of, especially those living in Japan, is the all-you-can-drink plans that they're not that frequent in some bars, though. Like, I'm not sure, like, which kind of places choose to have them and choose not to and why not, because usually it's like an izakaya or a Japanese-style bar that has the nomihodai, all-you-can-drink plans, whereas, like, a pub, I guess, you know, like
a Western-style bar,
they wouldn't really do it right. But I've heard of some that do offer it. Like there was a place I used to go in Sapporo, and they offered it, but it was quite expensive, like more expensive than your regular izakaya, maybe like 3,000 yen for 90 minutes, which I think is on the pricey end of an all you can drink.
Yeah, they might have had extra kind of alcohol on that menu. I know most nomihodos, the all you drinks, it's just a basic beer and a few basic cocktails. What's that? They're usually about 2,000 yen.
Like, and it's usually like
for an hour and a half. Yeah, I think
like
so.
Shit, or the shit beer. When was it? Yeah. Well, it's not shit beer. I guess it's like they call it, I don't know, like fake beer because it's got less wheat or something in it, less wheat content. Yeah. Don't really understand it, to be honest.
But the izakayas nearly always have the nomihodai option. I mean, karaoke always has a nomihodai.
What's been the cheapest nomihodai you've had in Japan before?
Dirk, you can go first.
I'm trying to remember. There's there's some place just north of Tanuki-koji. It's actually on the same block as Tanuki-koji. And they also serve like really inexpensive food for like huge portions. Can't remember the name of the place. It's like in the basement. I'm sure you guys have been there. So like a plate of like tonkatsu for like, I don't know, 1,500 yen, but it's like the size of three normal tonkatsu. And I think the nomihodai there is like sen. So that's probably the cheapest one that I've been to.
Is that one of those places where you can have the nomihodai, but everyone has to order one dish?
Yeah.
Is that one of those places?
I think it's that place. In fact, I think I've been there with you before, like in a big crowd. Yeah.
And then like we just all order like edamame or something each to get the sen yen nomihodai.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's how you two met, wasn't it? Well, I went to one about a month ago. About a month ago, and it was 500 yen for an hour and a half or you can drink.
Where was that? Was that in Sapporo?
I don't know. Yeah, it was in is it Ikiuchi Zone, that department store on the top. There's an eighth floor. There's a little Japanese, it's like an izakaya there. A lot of young people there. And
so what was the catch of that? 500 yen, that's ridiculous.
I know. It turned out to be a ridiculous evening, but
is that go ahead. I was thinking maybe it's like related to they're just trying to get business during COVID times or no?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. But the guy he had a special thing on his phone. I think it's usually it's 1,000 yen, but he had like, you get a discount. I think it was 500 or 600 yen for the nomihodai. So $5 or $6. So we did two of those.
So it's three hours.
Yeah, yeah. I think the second one was 1,000 yen, but the first one was definitely like one coin kind of deal.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts, man. It is. Yeah. It is pretty crazy. So that's I don't know how
1,500 yen for 3 hours of drinking.
Yeah, I mean they can't be making money off that, you know. So unless they're making money off the food that. Yeah, you know, we ordered a couple of dishes, but
so it wasn't compulsory where you had to order a dish each as well.
Like maybe one dish. Places. I think maybe one dish, but maybe not even that. Yeah, I can't quite remember. It was a long time ago.
Last week.
There is something I did want to ask you guys though, specifically about drinking. Because you know, in the teaching world, this whole tradition, like bars of like. Or not even at bars, but being invited out to drink and stuff. Like in the teaching world, you don't get subjected to it as much, I don't think, as like in the business world, because like in Japanese companies and stuff, they invite you guys out. But have you guys ever worked at jobs in like the teaching world where people, like bosses and stuff, were inviting people out to drink a lot?
Are you a fan of global travel? Are you wanting to see more of the world yourself? Well, then you're my kind of people. My name is DeAndre Koch, and I'm the host of the travel podcast, Revolutionizing Your Journey, where we share stories of everyday people making the most of global travel and also teach you how to do the same yourself. You'll hear stories from people just like you who learned how to travel for nearly free, like Jo, who realized she could take her daughter to Disneyland in Tokyo for cheaper than in the US, or Rob, who flew his entire family of seven to Europe round trip in business class, all for less than the price of economy. Check out the link in the description for the Revolutionizing Your Journey podcast to learn how to elevate your own travels.
No, not any teaching job. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me neither. Yeah. I mean, I got invited out to go to a soap land. Does that count? That was like the second week I was here.
Isn't that how you and Matt met?
Yeah, I was late.
Yeah, Matt was expensive.
Certainly was.
Definitely not what I requested on the menu.
He'll do.
Matt, is that why you grew out your hair so you can start working at Soapland? That's why you have long hair.
That's right. Yeah, had to shave too, which is really weird. Did your boss invite you out to a soap land?
Yeah, he did, and I accepted, and then he never got back to me. So I think we spoke about this before, Burke. Maybe in a couple of podcasts before that. You know, the polite invite where the Japanese staff, but oh, you know, let's go and do this, and then you know, just to be polite. And then you reply, yeah, let's do that. And then you never kind of talk about it again. that was that kind of situation where I think he was just being polite. But when I said yes, I think he wasn't expecting me to.
I mean, what did he do? He just like stuck his head in the teacher's room. And he's like, Ben, you want to go to Soapland next weekend?
No, how did it come about? I think I was asking him about it because, you know. Not
hinting or asking,
you know, because I didn't know anything about the whole sex industry in Japan when I first arrived, and Soapland was completely new to me.
And now you're a master.
Yeah, now I've got like club cards and membership. But then I started to kind of, you know, he was like the other male Japanese staff in the school I worked at. So he was naturally the only person I could talk about with it. So then I started asking him, and then he knew everything. He was going into all these details and that he, you know, he used to go a lot, and even though he was married and he had kids, and he said it was very common for Japanese guys to visit Soapland, even going as far as saying like 80% of Japanese guys go to Soapland, married or not. And then he said, oh, you know, let's go. I'll take you to one. And I don't think he expects me to take him up on an invite.
I
was like, yeah, man.
Yes.
Yeah. But then I never heard from him. I never got the invite again after that.
That actually makes sense, because I think I know who you're talking about, because I think it's a guy at the same school I used to work at before you worked there.
And, yeah, it is.
Yeah, and yeah, he's definitely, I mean, he was a really good businessman, really straight up guy and everything. But yeah, I remember our first Halloween party when he started working there. He was very adamant that he wanted to come dressed as a schoolgirl. So if it's that same guy, then I definitely could see him inviting you out to Soap Land. Yeah. Good guy.
What was he?
Good guy. Yeah, he was a good guy.
Family man, for sure. But Matt, so you were saying some of the other places in Japan that people drink at, you mean there's like different types of establishments or what?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, at your basic level, there's the street drinking, really, isn't there? I mean, I remember working at an English school, and all the guys, we used to get a beer after work and just drink in the streets. But I don't think, like outside
a combini or something.
Yeah.
Or in the park, even. Like, yeah, that was quite common in the summer.
Or you mean just like walking down the street in the traffic, like drinking beer or something?
No, this is in... Exactly. It was only us foreigners doing it, so I'm not sure if Japanese really do it. But no, I was out in Yokohama in that little drinking spot, you know. That was your basic. That was like that's when I first started going out, I guess. And then,
would this be like you'd organize to go out drink in the street, or was it pre-gaming?
No, it was just it was always that's what they did every night. After work, street beers. Oh, yep, street beers.
Well, we've had street beers. I mean, obviously, pretty often in Sapporo, whether it's like a pre-drink or it's like even an in-between bar drink. Like, hey, you want to just grab one at the conveni real quick, especially during the summertime. Like, man,
well, you go down to the park. You know, it's really nice.
Yeah, like in Odori Park in the summertime, or just like one of those corner combinis between like Odori and the main part of Suskino and stuff. So street drinking is definitely a foreign thing, and maybe some Japanese people too.
But also because it's completely legal to do that in this country, whereas in England, I don't think you can do that. You can't drink in the street in public.
I mean,
homeless people do it, but they've all got their alcohol in paper bags, so you can't see the booze, so it's kind of covered. So that's the reason why they cover it up. Hold on a minute. That might be in America. Is that in America, Burke?
Well,
tell us about your background, Burke.
Back when I was homeless for a few years. I mean, it is kind of like an image thing. I don't really know. I haven't been back there, so I don't know if things have changed. But, yeah, you're not – because I think it is illegal – you know, most people brown bag it or something. We would brown bag it every now and then in high school. And I mean, not high school, of course, not high school, university and stuff. But yeah, so because it's not illegal, then I think a lot of people like put it in a bag or something.
And then when they come to Japan, they realize that it's okay to do it, and they get really excited. So they just kind of abuse that right. Like I remember when I first came to Japan, and it was during the week of teaching for that large English school that you have in Tokyo. Burke, I think you had that too. So for that first week, you know, you're meeting all these different people from all over the world. And the first pretty much every night you're going drinking on the street, and it's always the Americans that got really excited about that, I remember. Because I think, in their country, it was, like, prohibited. So, yeah, they would, you know, go to the Lawson, and then we'd almost, like, be having, like, a party outside. It was great.
Yeah. That excitement still has not worn off for me.
But, yeah, no, I mean, you can drink on the streets here. I mean, the next level up from that would be, you know, you go to an izakaya. Or a Western style bar, or the what they call them, yokochos, those small alleyway kind of bars that are quite popular. And then after that, you got you can go to karaoke, a club, or the snack bars, or a host or hostess bars. That's where people drink as well, right?
I'm curious to see what you guys know about Hostess, or for you, Matt, host bars. like, because, or what you've
Hold
heard.
On. So I've worked at a soap lane and I've worked at a host bar. Is that what you're saying?
Sure, if that's the way you want to put it. but just because, I mean, either what you heard from other people or whatever, because I, even though I've wanted to go to a lot of hostess clubs, I mean, you know, it's died down a little bit now, but especially when I was coming to Japan in my early years, kind of always wanted to experience that part a lot more just because it was like, you know, easy way to talk to good looking women and, you know, and all you're doing is paying for it. You're not getting nervous or anything, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, they might be faking it or, you know, their enjoyment or whatever, but, I mean,
faking a book.
I mean, what have you guys heard about this hostess bars in Sapporo? Pretty good experience. Some people should definitely try it on their opportunities if they have an opportunity when they visit Japan.
I've never been, to be honest, and I've always wanted to, but they're expensive. You know, you're paying at least like $100 for an hour just to.
Is it that much?
I think that that's for like a high class hostess club, but when you're talking about snack bars, that's different. I think that's more like 5,000 yen. Even now, I haven't never been to a snack bar either. But
really, you guys have never been? Well, I think it was the first week I arrived. My Japanese buddy who lived here, he took me to a hostess bar, and I didn't know what a snack bar was. I thought it was a regular bar. And we sort of sat down, these girls came and sat, and they're like, man, these girls really like us, eh? Like, I had no idea who were paying for their amusement, you know? And they were, they were laughing at my jokes. They really like, they want me to buy them a drink. And then after a while, I clicked on, wait a minute. I was really enjoying that place, you know? But no, you just sit down, the girl will come and sit next to you, and then and chat to you and, yeah, laugh at your stupid jokes, I guess, and then you buy them drinks or they ask you to buy them a drink. I haven't been for a very, very long time, though.
How much was that?
I don't know. Well, I've never really paid. So, I mean, I just think they're a waste of money, to be honest. But I thought it was about 2,000 yen for it's a nomi hodai, or you can drink plus whatever you pay for the girl sitting next to you.
Plus, like, maybe a little bit. Oh, okay. So, nomi hodai, I guess you said. I mean, I've been to some hostess bars. I'm not going to lie and say I've never been. But I just haven't been that often. And I've been to snack bars not a lot.
I thought that, aren't they the same thing? Or are they different?
My understanding is snack bar is usually just, like, has a mama-san.
Son, right. Okay.
And it's, like, a smaller bar that's run by the mama-san. She might have some hostesses in there, like, outside of Sapporo, a lot of the small cities, when guests used to come from overseas at the company I worked at, we had to entertain them. So I didn't know the hostess bars or snack bars too well, but a lot of the guys that I went with obviously did, people, Japanese guys in the company. so that was in other cities outside of Sapporo and stuff. But yeah, that was kind of like snack bars. And I was kind of thinking like the hostess bars or clubs or whatever, like downtown in Sapporo, the ones where they're like on rotation, different girl comes periodically and sits down and talks to you.
Okay, right.
But the difference is, like a snack bar, the girl would be behind the bar, right, and be like one staff member talking to all the customers together. This is my understanding. And then a hostess bar, it would be like a one-to-one situation, or, you know, if there's a group of you, four guys, then four girls would come, and it'd be more like a private kind of table setting. The girls would be wearing like beautiful dresses, have their hair all done up, but snack bar's a bit more casual, and you get to sing karaoke, and and it's more like there's all these snack bars in small towns, so like locals always go to the snack bars. And it's basically just a regular bar, but with you get to talk to a girl for most of the evening. That's the main difference.
Yeah, but I think there is something a little bit in between that, because we kind of had a similar experience that Matt was talking about. We used to go to this place just in Siskiyou. It was like the old, it's across from Sugai, but anyways, it was like on the fourth floor. And, like, we went back a couple times because we were like, man, every time we come here, like, there's some cute girls who want to talk to us. It was kind of the same type of thing. But it wasn't like a full-on hostess bar, but there was, like, a cover to sit down, and there was kind of like a mama-san. But it was, like, a pretty, really nice interior, whereas most snack bars are just kind of like a bar, maybe a couple booths, usually small, not much going into interior design. This one was like quite nice, and plus they had like a few young hostesses going around and sitting at tables and drinking with people. So I think there's like across the board different style and stuff a little bit.
And do you remember how much you were paying, Burke, for those kind of places?
It wasn't cheap. I kind of feel like every time we walked out, I mean, it wasn't like really expensive because it wasn't high end, but I think like every time we walked out, like each of us had spent like 6,000, 7,000 yen or something, you know?
Yeah, I think that might be about the... But I'll tell you what, if you guys want to give me a budget, I'll go do some research.
Well, I think that's what we got to do.
Take some hidden cameras in as well.
Yeah, I'm for Voices in Japan. Yeah, all right. Yeah, but I just don't go because I just think they're kind of a waste of money. But, I mean, if you want to go, I mean, if you're traveling, then sure, why not? If you got the money, if you got an extra 5,000 yen... You know, it might be a good place to, you want to practice your Japanese even.
Yeah, I think Japanese would definitely be required. Or if you want to have a good time anyway, because I think most of the girls probably wouldn't be able to speak very much English. They might be able to say a few words, but you wouldn't be able to have a conversation.
But just don't fall in love.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to kind of say. I mean, some of those girls are a little bit tricky too, because they'll like, kind of, yeah. And I think they're allowed to, right? They'll like kind of start up a little bit side pseudo relationship with somebody where they're not actually, you know, doing anything physical, but they're like meeting up with this person outside of work and stuff and still getting a lot of gifts and stuff. So,
well, I know a couple of guys who've, you know, they get their phone numbers and like, oh, yeah, yeah, she really likes me. Yeah, I'm going to go to the bar now and meet her. Might, you know, you might be getting ripped off there, you know, or you're going there to spend money again just to hang out with her. And I think that might be what goes on as well.
Exactly.
I wonder how many guys fall for that, get duped by the whole, you know, she's interested in me. I've got a chance. Just got to go to a bar again. Time this week.
But I mean, you go to the a lot of those secondhand stores, and I mean, you guys know this, right? You always see about 50 Louis Vuitton bags there. And what I've heard is what these girls would do, or the hostesses would, they have their customer who comes and visits them all the time. And he'll buy her a gift. And she's like, I want this Louis Vuitton bag. And then she'll say the same thing to the other guy. Another guy, and say the same thing. So she'll have three of the same bag, and so she'll sell the other two and just keep that one bag.
Yeah, they're smart. Yeah, those girls that work in that industry, they're pretty switched on. Like, they know exactly what to say to men, how to get them to buy them things, manipulating. Yeah, it's a tough job. Like, you know, a lot of people think working in that job, you got to be you know, it's an easy gig, but the girls, the ones that are doing really well, they're super smart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a hustle. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about the host bars? I think it's the same thing, isn't it, Burke?
Where do you think I made my millions?
Well, apparently that's where all the money kind of funnels into. I mean, those guys make a killing, I've heard, you know?
I think that one's a tough job, being a host, because they are forced to drink every night and drink a lot. Because when the customers buy them whatever, buy a bottle of champagne, that's kind of like their commission, right? But they have to almost do what the customer wants them to do. And usually the female wants to get them absolutely shit-faced so she can somehow, I don't know, take him home or seduce him or something. And they almost can't say no as well when it comes to alcohol. But yeah, it's like they're being forced to drink. So it's a very kind of short-lived career for hosts, I think, compared to hostesses.
I have no idea. I've never been to a host, but have you guys?
I don't. Well, I mean, what would you do there as a guy? get some tips on how to talk to women, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure they're very good at that.
That's probably not why they're going. Yeah, guys, I'll see you later. I'm just going to go stop in this host bar to get some tips before I head into Siskiyou real quick.
But I mean, in Siskiyou, again, the sort of the nightlife district of Sapporo, man, they are everywhere on the corners, you know, and girls will walk past and they will sort of get right in their faces. Do you want to come to this bar? Do you want to come to this bar? They're everywhere. They've got lovely hair, I must say.
Big shoes.
Big shoes.
It's impressive, man, like seeing those guys just get knocked back, you know, time and time again. I mean, you'd have to have quite a thick skin to be good at that job.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure those guys make an absolute fortune. I think they make so much money, those guys.
The popular ones, I mean, I'm sure if you're kind of low down in the ranking, not so much as with anything. It's only like the top guys that probably make some serious dough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, most of those guys down on the street are just recruiting for the guys actually in there who are going to make the money.
Do you reckon you could be a host, you guys?
Yes.
Again? Man, I will say, like, in the early years, like, our friends would always kind of joke, like, all right, we're just going to open the, Gaijin host bar in Sapporo.
It's going to make...
I think everybody had that idea and dream.
Every foreigner's gone, man, we could do this, you know?
And you know what I think it is? Like, for most people, it's not even like, you know, they want to be a host. It's just like, what is the easiest way I could talk to Japanese women? I'll just become a host.
Well, a guy I know, he kind of semi-tried it, but the money, the cost. And I think at the time, like, he said, no, a lot of it was mafia run or something. So he was like, no. He said, do you want to do it? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it, man, for sure. But it was just, you know, banter, really, more than anything. But I know it's crossed every foreign guys here anyway, you know.
Well, back, I mean, in the day anyway. You know, it's kind of like with English teaching, you know, some of our jobs is quite similar. There's a bit of a crossover where entertaining, you know, some females a lot of the time. Most of my private students, I remember when I was teaching lessons, were all female. I think, like, maybe one guy out of 10 would actually be interested in wanting to learn English. But it was always women. So I think I got quite good at being able to just, like, talk, you know, just like monologue almost, because sometimes you get students that weren't very responsive, not good at answering questions, you know, just the kind of yes-no answers. And then you just spend the whole time just talking about yourself. So I think it was quite good practice to being a host. So, yeah. I cannot be quite good at that job.
I used to joke with the manager at my school when I was working at Eikaiwa, and I would call her the mama-san, because that's basically, I mean, she would even say, like, oh, this girl wants to keep taking your private lesson. Like, you know, she's like completely kind of even acting like a mama-san a little bit. And plus, like, we had a really fun, good relationship. So we could kind of joke around like about that. But I mean, it did feel like, just like you're saying, I mean, listening to people's problems, or you're kind of talking about yourself a lot, and they're not even necessarily talking that much, even though it's a private lesson, but they don't even really want to. They just want to spend time with you. So, yeah, it does feel like being a host, I would think, a little bit, minus the alcohol.
Yeah, and the money.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah.
And the Louis Vuitton bags.
I got some pretty good presents, though, when I was like teaching in one of those big language schools. Some of my students would give me some nice gifts,
for
Christmas and my birthday, and even just like random days, they would, you know, bring in like a Tommy Hilfiger sweater I got one time just out of the blue from one student. She used to bring me stuff all the time. Every week she'd bring me some food. So, yeah, it was great.
Dude, working, you were a host, man. Yeah. Doing, making the hustle, man.
Didn't even know it.
I said, I don't like these sandwiches. Give me something better. Oh, there's also the clubs.
Clubs. Nightclubs.
Clubs. Yeah, nightclubs in Japan.
Sapporo's pretty bad for nightclubs. I mean, how many nightclubs are there now in Sapporo? Probably
like three.
Yeah. I mean, what is it? King Mu, I think, is the most popular one now. Revived itself after closing down for a number of years. That used to be the main one anyway, wasn't it? I mean, you guys have been in Sapporo longer than me. Was it when I first arrived 13 years ago, King Mu was already closed. So I'd never been there at that time.
I think it was just opened when I was just closing. I think, when I got here.
Yeah, I was here when it was open, but it was it wasn't as live as it is kind of now after it's right now it's obviously nothing because of COVID, but after it revived, I think they did a much better job of getting it packed.
Oh, really? Yeah. So it's actually better now than it was back in the day.
Yeah, like back in the day, I can actually only remember going there when there was like kind of a...
Oh, and it was always empty. Yeah.
I mean, that's probably why they went out of business for a while. I mean, when I first came here, it was like packed with all the time. It was like Booty, Rad Brothers was going through one of its heyday. There was a couple places that would pop up every now and then. There was like this place called like Monkey Bar that lived for a little while.
That's where I used to work.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah. That was the first. That was first bar job in Sapporo, Monkey Bar.
Wasn't like a nightclub.
No, it was a bar.
Yeah. They had like the coin system, right?
No, that you're thinking Planet Hollywood, I think. Was that called? No.
Planet Hollywood.
No, it was called Hollywood Cafe. It's called Hollywood Cafe, I think, that place. Yeah.
Yeah, but wasn't that the same place used to be Monkey Bar?
Monkey Bar took over from there.
Okay, yeah. So I was going there from the Hollywood whatever days, Hollywood Bar, whatever.
To that coin system. I mean, my first, this, how's this for responsible service of alcohol? My, the boss, the guy, Sean, he was an Australian guy who's sadly no longer with us, but he was like, Matt, I want you to work at this bar. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll do it. So when am I going to stay? He's like, tonight. I'm like, man, I haven't worked at a bar before. He's like, well, now's the time to learn. And people start coming. He's like, Matt, start pouring beers. I'm like, what? I don't know what I was doing. They ordered these cocktails. I'm like looking at this booklet. what's a shandy gaff? What's a Anyway,
learning on the job. That was kind of one of my gigs working at a bar too. I didn't know how to make a lot of cocktails. So, and in Japan, they've got different ones that you don't really get back at home, like a cassius oolong and. I mean, what is cassius anyway? Like, if you had to explain it to an English person, it's like,
isn't
it
like a raspberry cordial liqueur?
Is it actually alcoholic? Is it
Asperg?
Cassius, man, the only cassius I know is Cassius Clay.
So yeah, I think. Cassius is alcoholic. Yeah, you might be right, Matt. I always thought it was like kind of like, you know, Ribena, the cordial, right, black currant stuff that you'd use to make mix. I don't know, as a mixer.
No, it's alcoholic. Yeah,
but stuff like that. I'd have to like. I mean, there was a couple of times I actually had to ask the customer what is that, and they would like tell me what alcohol was in it, and I'd make it in front of them.
What's a gin and tonic? But going back to clubs, I don't know. Have you guys been to a club in Tokyo? Because I'm sure the clubs are way better in Tokyo.
Yeah, there was a couple of big ones.
Gas Panic? Was it?
Gas. I never went to that one. I went to Faria. I think it's called Faria. I think that's in Roppongi. Gas Panic, I've heard of.
I went to Gas. Is that what it's called? Gas Panic.
Yeah,
I remember that was the big foreign kind of club hangout kind of thing. But the clubs up here, they're not. Well, I guess they're nice, but what are they, like 3,000 or 4,000 yen to get in?
And the music is terrible.
It's the music's like terrible.
90s top hits. And it's, you know, repeat over and over again. So you hear the same music pretty in every club, and every weekend it will be the same same CD usually.
Yeah, and half the club's like VIP area.
And they're usually empty, the VIP area.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But but I was talking to one of the owners, and he was saying, well, I said, why is it so expensive to get in? I mean, you know, he said, well, all the kids who go there don't drink. And well, they'll have one drink. So people don't go there to drink at all. They just go there to kind of dance. But this is where they have to make their money at the door charge.
So they're normally going in already drunk because it's kind of quite late.
Maybe like
one or two in the morning when they start hitting those clubs.
Yeah, right. But I will say this one big thing about Japan, which you don't realize, is you don't get asked for ID anywhere you go. Well, even when I was younger.
Is that just like, you though, Matt? Because, you know, you don't look young anyway. You're not going to get asked for ID.
I don't look 20. But shut up, Ben. But yeah, every bar or club in Australia, by you know, you'll get asked for your ID. But I've never been asked for my ID in Japan.
I've never heard even Japanese people being asked for ID. Like even you know, you'll see very young looking kids in izakayas, in bars, in clubs, all drinking, and probably a lot of them are underage. And it's quite acceptable to do that in Japanese culture for some reason. Like it's not such a big deal to underage drink.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. It must just be because. Actually, I don't even want to speculate. I was gonna say it's not even as dangerous for young people to drink, but I don't know what happens. You know, young people might get caught in some bad situations or something. I don't know.
Or maybe they just don't go as crazy as some of the people back at home do. Like when my friends used to get drunk when we were young, you know, we just like cause trouble, get into fights and stuff like that. But you never really see that in Japan, especially among young people. They're always very respectable, even when they are drunk.
But for me anyway, at that age, you know, like, you know, you're not going out drinking, you're going to, house parties, and that's where you're not going out into the city that often.
Yeah.
Until about 18, 19. I mean, the legal drinking age in Australia is 18. What is it in Japan? 20.
Yeah, 20.
I think everybody's drinking before that. But yeah, definitely. Obviously there's not a lot of house parties going on in Japan.
I miss the good old house party.
Yeah, I mean, they do have, like, they call them parties. But it's just basically a small gathering, like even
in the sitting on the floor in the living room.
Yeah, even if it's just like four people, they still call it a party.
Yeah, but I'm saying like in the U.S., like, you know, someone's parents were gone on the weekend, and like, all the kids would congregate at that house. Like I've never heard of that happening in Japan.
Yeah,
no, I'm sure it may or may not, but I think actually that's kind of like a lot of thing you talk to like young Japanese people. And, like, that's one thing they really, like, enjoy about Western movies because they see stuff like that, like the high school house party.
The cake parties.
Yeah, the cake party and stuff, yeah.
Chugging
beers.
So that is that quite a common thing, those, you know, how Hollywood makes those parties out to be? Did you go to those a lot?
Stuff I mean, like were, you, yeah. were you a
girls
frat
everywhere?
I mean, in my high school was pretty big. It was like 1,600 students. So, yeah, usually there was like, I mean, it wasn't like every weekend, but it would go through periods sometimes where it was like every weekend. Yeah, like, I mean, that was kind of like one thing that would make kids popular. Like if, you know, they were their parents were rich, so they had like this really nice house and they threw like a really good house party on a certain weekend and everyone was there, you know, it helped up their status quite a bit.
And you stayed home, Burke, because you were never invited.
Where's the next party? Where's the next party at?
Anyways, I think we're about that time, guys. We covered quite a lot today, I think, about differences in drinking culture, I think, between our home countries and Japan.
Well, let's have a drink next time, guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again, Matt. This is fifth time, maybe?
Really?
25th time.
25th time. I mean, you keep begging us to come on.
Say it the other way around, Burke.
We can only say no a certain amount of times.
It's definitely a lot more fun in person. So, man, I hope we can get past all this, whatever you want to classify it as, ASAP, and safely, nobody panicking and worrying. But
well,
yeah.
one more week before the state of emergency is lifted, and also the vaccines are going ahead quite quickly now, from what I've heard. All right.
Okay. Well, how was that? Was that all right?
What, the vaccine?
No, the chat.
We gotta say bye-bye.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. It was a good time, man. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Premature. Yeah. All right.
Please catch us next time. And thanks again for joining us, Matt. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, I'll see you guys soon.
And hopefully we can do this in person later on. Maybe at the end of the year we'll do your annual quiz of Japan.
Annual quiz, the one that Burke's never won.
I know it's been rigged all this time. I'm going to talk about that on the next podcast. But right, I have some conspiracy theories about that whole thing.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Cheers, right. Matt. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And hope to catch you next time. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This episode was brought to you by The Red House, located in the heart of Rizutsu Ski Resort in Hokkaido, just across from the main road, and it's behind the Seiko Mart convenience store. The restaurant features a mix of Japanese, Asian fusion, and Western-style dishes, including shabu-shabu and wagyu beef, and Hokkaido wagyu beef steak. It's open winter and summer, 12 to 3 p.m. for lunch, 5 to 9 p.m. for dinner, with prices ranging from under 1,000 yen to about 5,000 yen. For more information, check out theredhouse.jp.